Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Reason senior editor Damon Root. He's just back from the oral arguments at the Supreme Court for King v. Burwell, which is a case that might invalidate the subsidies given to Obamacare policies through federal exchanges as opposed to ones run by the states. Damon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
What is your sense of things? Where is this heading?
Very close case. The liberal bloc came out swinging in favor of the administration against the legal challengers. Justice Kagan said, look, you know, we do not read laws this narrowly. We look at the whole broad context. We look at the purposes. And of course, that's what the White House, you know, wants the court to conclude. Scalia and Alito, they came out very strong in favor of the legal challenge against the government's arguments. Justice Scalia at one point said that the government's position amounted to gobbledygook. I'm not sure if that's the first time that's been heard at the Supreme Court, but it was notable.
So what about the other three votes that are up for grabs then? Could you read where the justices were on that?
So Chief Justice Roberts, who of course cast the deciding vote for Obamacare in 2012, he basically didn't say anything. He asked one question. He played a game of poker, didn't show his hand whatsoever. So he was impossible to read, basically. Justice Kennedy was the most interesting one, and he said some things that suggested he might vote in favor of the government's position. But what he said was the government's textualist argument, their reading of the text is probably wrong, or he seemed to suggest that. However, the challenger's argument of the text would make Obamacare unconstitutionally coercive, and that would violate federalism. So if the court is confronted with a choice between a reading of a statute that would render it unconstitutional and one that wouldn't, there's this thing called the doctrine of constitutional avoidance, and Kennedy brought that up and said, well, maybe we should invoke that. So that would be this sort of ironic twist of he thinks the government is wrong, but it would be even worse to vote against them, so vote in the government's favor.
So here's a question. Roberts, of course, basically rewrote Obamacare. He changed definitions in the law when he wrote the majority or the opinion and upholding its constitutional nature. Is there any reason to believe that the justices wouldn't do that here? Because, you know, talk about the exact phrase that is really under review here.
The phrase is established by the state. What the law says is that if people who purchase health insurance from an exchange established by the state, they can qualify for these tax credits. And the government's argument is that, well, that phrase established by the state, it's a term of art, and what it actually means is established by the state or by the federal government acting in the place of the state. And the challengers say, no, the text means what it says. These words are very clear. They're unambiguous. And so I think the textualist argument is strong for the challengers, but there's these other legal principles that come into play, and one of them is this idea of ambiguity. If both sides maybe have an argument, and if maybe the broader purposes of the law are served by the government's argument, that renders it ambiguous, and therefore the courts should defer to the federal agency, in this case the IRS, and uphold the law. So the textualist argument is not the only thing that could come into play. I agree that the text seems pretty clear, but some of these justices could bring up these other ideas and rule for the government.
What is your sense of, if you had to give odds, what would you say that King v. Burwell rules against Obamacare or maintains it as is?
I think based on just what was said in the arguments today, like I said, it's very close. Kennedy seemed to be leaning a little more towards the government side, but I think I'm not sure I would want to give odds on that. I don't want to go too far out on the limb, but he seemed to be more on the government side, and that would be five votes right there. And then Roberts could make it 6-3, or could add another one to that side, make it 6-3. But it could be 5-4 for the government, with Kennedy crafting this federalist constitutional avoidance argument, and then the liberals basically just joining him in the outcome, but coming up with, you know, they would just side with the administration.
Now, there's another case that's related to this, the Halbig case. Talk a little bit about that, and will this case render that one moot one way or the other?
It probably will render it moot. They're basically the same legal question there. They've come out of two different federal circuits. The King is out of the Fourth Circuit, Halbig's out of the D.C. Circuit. Halbig is on hold right now. The administration lost in the first round at the D.C. Circuit, but that court is going to hear it again with a full panel. And that's scheduled for a few months down the line. And I think if the administration wins here, then that settles it there. If the administration loses, that settles it, because it's the same legal issue.
When will the Supreme Court release its verdict on this, or ruling on this?
Traditionally, a case like this, it's the last week of June. The court goes right up to the end of June and then goes on summer recess, unlike many of us. And so we can expect it at the end of June.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Damon Root, for talking to Reason TV.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Damon Root about King v. Burwell, the big Obamacare case that was heard today. Oral arguments were heard today in front of the Supreme Court. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.